Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to WrestleChat Radio SmackDown Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 60 minutes, we'll be discussing this week's episode of SmackDown at 215. Excuse me. Tickling the throat there, folks. Not 100% well this Christmas. 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, you can always log into the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. SmackDown this week, the last SmackDown before Christmas. The SmackDown before Christmas, and aptly named, some of this was a nightmare. Some of it wasn't too bad. Some of it was a nightmare. Before we get started, there is a bunch of news we're going to run through extremely quickly. We'll do a little bit more on these stories on Sunday's show. But we thought we'd start with a little bit of news. First off, Rockstar Spud was backstage at the Raw taping. He is apparently going to start anytime, full-time, with 205 Live. Also, Kalisto was injured at that 205 Live taping when a fan threw a full bottle of water and struck him directly in the face as he was lying on the mat outside the ring. Now, the reason this is important is this. The WWE has said they are going to prosecute this fan, and that is the way it should be. If you threw a water bottle at someone on the street purposely and hit them in the face with it, filled with water, even if it wasn't filled with water, that's considered assault, and there's no difference whether you're in a pro wrestling arena or you're on a sidewalk somewhere in the city. That's assault. And absolutely no question about it, this fan needs to be prosecuted for assault. It's outrageous. Kalisto apparently had to be taken to the hospital for stitches, and it was a mess. A full water bottle is pretty heavy. So anyway, there's that news. Also, there's news that Vince McMahon apparently is going to start another entertainment company that may or may not include the XFL, the rebirth of the XFL. And to do so, and are you ready for this? Because this is pretty big. To do so, he has sold off $100 million worth of his own personal WWE stock. $100 million worth. Now, I'm sure if you're like me, you're out there saying to yourself, well, that's just about all the stock he has, isn't it? Wrong. Guess how much $100 million worth of stock is when it breaks down into percentages for Vince McMahon? Somewhere around 4% of his stock. 4%. So $100 million richer to invest in this new entertainment company. We don't know exactly what it entails yet. Supposedly in late January, we're going to get this big announcement from Vince McMahon. But he has filed for patent on XFL and also URFL, as in your FL, your NFL. So apparently Vince McMahon is going to attempt to cash in on the unpopularity of the NFL right now due to all their problems and start the either URFL or XFL over again, and also some other sort of branch of entertainment that we're not really sure exactly what that is. Also, news on Dean Ambrose is that, of course, he does have that injury. They say that it was a partial tear, and we are probably looking at a couple of months. Now, a couple of months, what does that mean? Well, let's not count December. So you're talking January, February, earliest would be mid-March probably. And with WrestleMania right around that corner, they may not even take the chance there. There's a really, really good chance that Dean Ambrose will miss WrestleMania. And he had a whole bunch of programs to be worked with Seth Rollins against the Bar. And taking his place on those tours will be Jason Jordan. I don't know how that's going to set with the fans. I have no idea. Probably not well. And the last order of news is kind of SmackDown news. I was going to get to it in the show, but I think we'll just get to it now. For the people who wrote me, and there was a lot of them, and said, is Ziggler gone? Is Ziggler gone? Is Ziggler gone? Dolph Ziggler is not gone. That's an angle. I don't know what the angle is supposed to entail. But I do know, and I've checked it 9 ways to Sunday, so I know it's true. Dolph Ziggler is still doing house shows. He will not be on SmackDown. That's part of the angle, is that he's gone. But he is going to be doing some house shows here and there and still on the roster, and he's still under contract, and he's not going anywhere for the foreseeable future. And if my sources are correct, he's pretty close to resigning. So I don't know what this angle entails. Some people are saying it entails that he's going to actually retire that U.S. belt and come up with his own belt or something that represents the U.S. belt. He doesn't feel the belt is worthy. I'm not sure where it's going. But Dolph Ziggler is not gone. For the people who thought that was the case, that's not the case. Much like Natalya is not gone. That was also just an angle. Okay, so let's start out with SmackDown. And we right away get the Shane McMahon, Daniel Bryan showdown that we expected. And we'll discuss that in just one moment. But let me get to the phones because some people may want to comment on the news. Mike, there's quite a few things. Rockstar Spud in. Dean Ambrose injured, Kalisto injured by a fan, Vince McMahon selling off his stock to, start a new entertainment network, and, of course, Dolph Ziggler doing this angle where he's not really gone. I just don't know why he's not around. What do you think?
That's the big question. Why? I mean, that was an interesting way to start an angle, whatever the angle is going to be. And I guess we'll get to that, you know, in a while, but let's just see what happens with this angle, and that's that on that. But I mean, I still have my XFL hats. You know, I have the Chicago Enforcers and the Memphis Maniacs and all that stuff. I still have that. I still have those hats. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if it's the XFL or if it's the URFL, whatever he does. And again, this could be the old striking while the iron's hot. You know, the NFL's losing ratings. People don't want to see these guys kneel for the national anthem. That could be a rule for the entire league. If he, whatever league he does, whatever thing he does, you know, that could be a rule that you are not to kneel for the national anthem and all that stuff. We'll just have to see where he goes. And like you said, it's just 4%. You know, 4% of
$100 million. 4% is $100 million. 4% of his stock is $100 million. Unbelievable, Sabretooth. So, what do you think? Vince McMahon starting a football league, Dolph Ziggler not retiring, just pretending to, and a fan virtually being arrested for assaulting a wrestler with a water bottle.
Yeah, with the water bottle thing, I mean, it makes me mad when that happens because a fan slash wrestler, you know, like slash business relationship is already shaky as it is, you know, and then we have fans assaulting the workers now, you know, and you said that WWE is not going to press charges.
No, they are going to press charges.
Oh, they are. Okay. Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, but like I said, man, this is like a black eye, you know, as far as fans go. Because I said, because the relationship between fans and the business, if I was like shaky at best, you know, it's like they're not respecting the fans, you know, how as it is, and now you got this happening, so it's like a black eye, you know, another black eye.
It's going to make wrestlers very sketchy about going outside the ring and things because they're going to say, well, you know, what's to stop another fan from throwing a water bottle? What's to stop them from throwing a to be perfectly honest, I've dealt with situations where fans' washers or bolts in their pocket. How are you going to know? You got a washer in your pocket or a bolt. And not through a washer or a bolt, that could put your eye out. This water bottle could have done damage. You got to they're going to have to do something. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, they want to sell their water bottles and things, so they're not they may have to go to just cups. Where the what damage could you do with a cup? You know, and make sure that they check every backpack and everything as it comes in. It's very sad when, and I presume it's an adult, because a child they would have probably not said much about, and a child wouldn't have had the strength in his arm to hit somebody in the face so hard with a water bottle that he needed stitches. So you're talking about an adult who grabbed a water bottle for no known reason and decided this might be cool to pelt somebody in the face with. And then you wonder why some wrestlers have a negative feel about fans. I once told the story, I'll tell it briefly again, that I knew Tommy Dreamer relatively well. I would talk to him at all the ECW shows, sometimes even help set up the ring. And one day I asked him, hey, I saw so-and-so, I won't mention his name, but he was a wrestler, just outside at a gas station. I said hey to him like three times. He wouldn't even turn around. What's his problem? You know, what is he, you know, doesn't like me? And he said, nope, that's not the reason. He said, the reason is probably didn't see who you were. And, you know, you turn around after somebody calls your name and you don't know whether there's going to be a guy there with an autograph pad or a guy to punch you in the face, because that's what ends up happening sometimes. It's like, you know, you don't even stop because you say, ah, I turn around. And next thing you know, here's a guy saying you ain't tough and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, until that eases up outside the ring, very skittish about stopping for people. And there you go. There you go. And this doesn't help. Anyway, let's get to SmackDown. Daniel Bryan comes out with, and of course, gives his rationale that he did what he did for SmackDown, for the betterment of SmackDown. Shane McMahon comes out and does exactly what I said he was going to do. He said, Daniel, you were the first one to break up, whether you did it accidentally or on purpose. I didn't know at the time. What I did know is that that match was over, and it wasn't fair to Randy Orton. So me not counting that three count, all that did was really even it up. I knew he was going to say that, and it does make sense. But at the same time, this storyline, again, didn't really go anywhere. Daniel Bryan said, if you want to fire somebody, fire me. Shane McMahon did not fire him. He said, I trust your judgment, and I respect your decision, and he walked out of the ring. We are having a little bit of problem with the storyline, though, and here's the storyline. At the end of the day, Shane McMahon is in charge. Shane McMahon could have gotten that ring. If he can fire Daniel Bryan right on the spot last week, then I'm sure he could say, Daniel, this is over. Kevin and Sammy are fired. That's all he has to say. He doesn't have to put him in a match with a stipulation. He doesn't have to have special guest referees or make people jump through hoops. All he has to say is, I respect what you tried to do. I do not want these people on my show. This is done. So in some way, Mike, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right?
Right. And in some way, your scenario would have made more sense, because then you could have Zane and Owens come back and say, see, we told you he was after us, you know?
Right. Exactly. So, again, Todd, I mean, if you wanted to fire him, he could certainly just fire him.
Absolutely right there. It seems like Daniel Bryan, when he came out, he was getting cheers, and what Shane McMahon got, when he came out, he got less cheers.
Oh, there's no question that it looks like Daniel Bryan would be the face in this. The fans clearly have made up their mind, like I told you they would, that Daniel Bryan was in the right, but this convolutes the angle, because, of course, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are not in the right. And later on, when Daniel Bryan is confronted by Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, it appears as though they thought Daniel Bryan was their buddy and on their side. They brought him champagne or wine, I don't remember which, and said, we know that this had to do with Randy Orton and how, you know, you felt screwed by Randy Orton. You finally got your revenge on him. Daniel Bryan didn't take that too well and said, if you guys keep doing this kind of crap, I'm going to fire you myself. Go get ready for your match. Shane had warned Daniel Bryan they're eventually going to use you when they get tired of, you know, playing off your sympathy. They're going to use you. I would think that maybe this angle is not going to result in either Shane nor Daniel Bryan flipping. I mean, at this stage, it looks like it's going to go toward a wiser Shane McMahon reading Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn to the point where they do something to Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan realizes I've been a fool, and maybe we get a match with Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I don't know. I still say that's the better match. I don't want to see Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon, so Sabretooth, that could be where that's going.
Right. And also, I think y'all missed something. I mean, because, like, as soon as Daniel Bryan, as soon as Daniel Bryan said told Shane McMahon that he doesn't want him abusing his power, he doesn't want him playing favorites or whatever, I was expecting, I swear to God, I was expecting Carmella to come out and get on him for what he did to her and Ellsworth with that whole Money in the Bank fiasco. So who was he to tell Shane McMahon about what he did? He did the exact same thing to Carmella and Ellsworth.
You're absolutely correct. Again, it doesn't make a lot of sense, Sabretooth. That's the problem. This storyline is compelling, and fans are kind of into it. But if you dissect it, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Because at any given time, Shane McMahon could have said, well, what did you do? You abused your power. You know, look what you did. You stripped Carmella of the Money in the Bank briefcase. So don't tell me you didn't do that. Look at all the stuff you did with The Miz. Because you had a grudge against him. So before we play high and mighty, Daniel, let's talk facts. He could have done that. Would have made it much more interesting. But the bottom line is the flaw, the plot hole in this story is that Shane McMahon can fire them at any time. Doesn't need a match to do it. Doesn't need anything to do it. He can just walk out and say you're fired. So unfortunately, that holds things back. Well, the fans seem to be into it, which is, that's a good thing. So we get the Usos, and they're going up against Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable. And I guess they felt, Benjamin and Gable a disservice on the pay-per-view and decided they're going to rehab them by virtue of getting the victory here. They look better than they have in the last few weeks. And despite the fact that I still say they don't have a lot of charisma, it looks like they're going to set them up to be at least the top contenders for the belt. I don't think they're going to win because I don't think there's any money in watching Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable take on the Bludgeon Brothers, and that's what it would entail. And there probably is money in the Usos and the Bludgeon Brothers. But for the temporary number one contendership, Mike, I guess Benjamin and Gable will be all right.
Yeah, you knew that was coming up because they put them together and they're going to stick with this thing. So you knew at some point they were going to be the contenders, at least a short-term contender for that belt. So, yeah, I can see that, and I had no problem with that.
Yeah, it was a good match. It's just that, again, we go back to 50-50 booking Sabretooth, where one week they can't beat him and the next week they do.
I'm not really interested in seeing these guys as tag team champs. Shield was a good match. It was like a hell of a match. There was a dull moment in that match. But I don't see them like giving those guys the belts though. I don't see it.
No, I don't think they will either. It's just a temporary, make the Usos look real good before they go on to face the Bludgeon Brothers, and I guess that's exactly what they want to do. Now, the next match, well, let me get to Todd. Todd, what do you think about it? I mean, I think Gable and Benjamin looked a little bit better.
Yeah, they sort of look a little better this week, but for the last couple weeks. Well, like you said, you will probably see them get built up little by little until they get up there.
I think they may be the next contenders. I think they're just going to say, look, we beat the champions. We want our shot, and that's going to be the next thing. Anyway, Naomi and Charlotte take on two members of the Riot Squad. And by the way, if you've noticed that they changed the Riot Squad to RIOTT, That's because someone had already copywritten Riot Squad with just one T. So the WWE really couldn't copyright it, so instead they just added the T. So now it's the Riot with two T's squad. Not apparently that it's going to matter, because just like we said last week on the SmackDown report, you've turned these girls now into just three more girls on the roster. Well, now you've really done it. Now you've really done it. They weren't here a full month before they took their first loss. And that's not really a good thing. I mean, look at the people that you try to build up. Braun Strowman, how long was it before he got his first loss? Long time. The Shield, how long was it before they got their first loss? Long time. Rusev, how long was it before he got his first loss? Very long time. Riot Squad, come in, do a couple back jumps, get their ass beat. Now they're getting pinned. Clean pinned. So they're not going to be any big deal. They brought him in, said, let's bring him in, you know, on fire, just so we have enough women for the Royal Rumble, and give him a week or two, and then it's just main roster from this point on, Mike, and I think that's a shame. I really do.
That really is a shame, you know, and the thing about it is we know for a fact, and we've seen for a fact that at some point both of the Bellas are coming back, you know. We know that's going to happen. And, I mean, I know for sure that's going to happen because I've seen on I've watched one of the recent Total Divas where Breeze talking about, well, what my body has changed, what's going to be my new finishing maneuver. He was talking to, you know, to Daniel Bryan about it, and Bryan said, well, what about my knee? Stuff like that. And she goes, I'm going to have to talk to the Miz about that. So, I mean, we know she's coming back. So what's going to happen? It's sad to see these three girls weak. And after you, obviously you put some time into coming up with this whole gimmick, but they do this all the time though.
Yeah. I mean, in the chat room, Derek's saying, well, you know, Braun Strowman did lose to Roman Reigns. Yeah, but that was months. That was months. Braun Strowman was on a tear. He was beating four people at the same time. He went through Ellsworth and all those local guys. He went through a bunch of other people. And he just didn't lose. And then he lost in like a stipulation match where it was really he didn't get pinned. You know, it took a long time before a clean pin happened on Braun Strowman. Riot Squad, not even a month. And Sabretooth, I think that's an indication that they're not really going to treat them like I thought they were going to treat them.
Right, because now on SmackDown, they're in the same situation as the Absolution is on Raw. I mean, like, what's next for these girls now? I mean, like on Raw, they got their comeuppance. You know, what's next for them on SmackDown?
Right.
I mean, you got three girls who got clint, two of which got, who got pinned clean in a match. I mean, like, what's next? I mean, where do they go from here? I mean,
I don't know. I mean, they don't look like world beaters anymore, do they? They don't look like that. You know, they're not exactly the NWO. I don't remember the NWO getting their head handed to them a month down the road after their debut. So, no, it's a shame. I think they could have done a lot more with them. We then get to a backstage skit involving the New Day and Rusev and Aiden English. And I'm going to tell you, I normally hate these matches. I normally hate these Halloween pumpkin head matches and these Christmas matches with presents all over the place that they're smacking people in the head with. But they picked the right people for this. And this was actually something I was looking forward to. And they said they were going to fight. I said, this could be good. This could be really good. They've got the right people. Now, Halloween had Anderson and Gallows. I said, you just can't have that. So they've got the right people in there. To my surprise, Rusev comes out giving away Rusev Day t-shirts as Santa Claus. If you're telling me he's not a face, then I don't know what to tell you, because I don't remember the last time a heel came dressed as Santa Claus, handing out free T-shirts to an audience. That's not exactly heel stuff. So he's technically a face. I don't know about Aiden English, but Rusev definitely is. Now, Aiden English is dressed as Olaf, which is hilarious. And Rusev is dressed as Santa Claus. You've got the gingerbread man, a reindeer in the New Day. Just funny stuff. They went out and had a really good comedy match. Rusev showed he has the instincts for really good comedy matches when he not only makes the pie with the whipped cream, but then he adds the cherry on top very carefully, just one out of the jar. Some really good commentary, some really funny commentary from the commentary team. And even though Aiden English gets the pin and it somewhat weakens that team, I think it strengthened Rusev's appeal as a face, Mike.
Right. It does strengthen his appeal as a face. And look, I mean, yeah, he got the pin as a he got pinned, but he was handling out T-shirts as well as Rusev. So it wasn't like he wasn't doing anything that was a face move too. If you want this guy to don't have Aiden English handing out the T-shirts, but he was doing the same thing, and basically they're both acting like faces.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting over. I think that Aiden English is getting less over, but they certainly all got over. And the New Day, like I said, they're not getting old. It's just not getting old. This could go on for a very long time with the New Day. They seem to be able to just reinvent things and keep things fresh enough so people are into them. Again, though, if you don't see that Rusev's turn, full-fledged turn, has to be coming in the next couple of weeks, then, you know, I don't know what to tell you, because the WWF is definitely, E, is not sending someone out there as a heel and telling him, get over, you know, get some heat, and then tell him to hand out T-shirts. That doesn't make any sense. What do you think, Sabretooth?
Yeah, I agree. And also what you said, how they chose the right people for this, because usually I don't like these kind of matches. Neither. This was best of Anderson and Gallows doing that. I mean, if they want the people,
right.
I mean, if they want the guys to do that with, but they chose the right guys to do it with. And my only complaint about this match was that, like, a bad something happened. Remember when he went into the bag and he saw that underwear with Rusev Day written on it?
Yeah.
Somehow during the commercial break with that, but we couldn't hear what it was because of that commercial break was going on. So we missed out on something during the commercial break, you know, on what they was doing with that. And I was like, man, we missed out on something funny with their underwear because of that commercial break.
Yeah, I wish they didn't do that. It's really distracting, and I don't like it. You know, at first, I thought I might, because I said, hey, we're not missing any action. But then I really became disgruntled with it. It actually is distracting. I can't really watch it with a commercial blaring in my ears, and you miss the commentary or the nuances. You know, when Raw goes to commercial break, there's a rest hold usually, or not much is happening. So you don't feel like you missed anything. When we're seeing stuff and we're like, oh, you know, I think we're missing stuff. I wish I had the full screen again. It's almost worse than not seeing it at all. So I don't know how other people feel about it, but Todd, I don't like it. I'd just rather they just cut.
I said it before. I never liked it either. They got to stop doing that. Just showing the matchup in the left and show the big commercial on the bottom screen. Like, come on now. If you're gonna go commercial, go to an actual commercial. Anyway, I flip to another channel where there's a commercial on. Anyway.
It's very distracting. There's no question. It's extremely distracting. I don't like it. Okay, well, anyway, we get to the main event. But we should say, I guess we should discuss Dolph Ziggler, who comes out and really shocks everybody, including me. You know, he came out and basically did a little retrospective of his career and said, I'm one of the top athletes here. I won the Money in the Bank. They showed that. They showed his victories. And then he basically said, you people do not deserve me. If you want something to remember me by, here it is. He puts the belt down on the ground and walks away. I thought for a moment, well, that's it. They gave Dolph Ziggler one last title reign for him to walk out of the WWE for a little while at least, and maybe he'll return saying, I never lost the belt, when he's done doing what he feels he needs to do. On a recent show, blog talk show, Dolph Ziggler had said that he feels that he may have to walk away from it for a while because fans now expect him to lose. And he said, you know, it's not so bad if there's a 40-year-old guy sitting there and he knows I'm not beating, you know, a top name, because it's hard to bluff, you know, people who've been watching for 25 years. But when there's 9-year-old kids there and they know you're not winning, it's time you've done something, because there's no way I can do my job. I can't make somebody think I can win if they already know I'm not winning this match. So maybe if I go away for a while or something happens, I can change my role in this company. And I think maybe they got together and said, look, maybe we'll do this. We will take you out of the picture for a little while, but we'll let you go on a winning end. You've won the belt. Won the U.S. belt. Now you drop it, middle of the ring. You're not seen on SmackDown for maybe a month or two, maybe till February or something. And then it's special when you come back and say, I don't recall officially giving up the belt, and I don't recall losing it. Now, maybe that's where they're going to go with this. The other option, of course, is that some people are saying he's going to show up with his own belt, saying that that belt was not worthy of him, and this is the brand new belt, because we know that they're going to be changing a couple of the belts in the WWE. You know, I should also mention, and I don't know if I did, that the WWE's music director was released after I don't know how many years, more years than probably I've been a wrestling fan. And they've hired new musical direction. So if you hear some of the new music for some of these wrestlers in the near future, it's a totally different music director. And I don't know whether that's good or bad. Dolph Ziggler's back to not really using anything. He just walks out. I don't know how that worked, because one week he did, one week he didn't. But we won't be seeing Dolph Ziggler on SmackDown anymore. And Mike, I guess they did a good job, because until I really went to some sources to see, I thought he might be gone.
Right. And I mean, this almost sounds like like you said, the whole belt situation, it almost sounds like the old $1 million belt thing where the guy shows up with his own belt, you know, but we know that's probably not it. And hey, if this is a way to use him to his fullest potential coming down to the end of his career, you know, which, you know, Ziggler's only 37 years old, you know. Now, can you squeeze another 4 or 5 years out of him? Yeah. You know, if they want to do that, yeah, they could do that. If they can find a way to make people think that he's actually going to win some with the previously, then yeah, you can squeeze some more years out of Ziggler.
Yeah, I think Ziggler's right. I mean, I think he really hit the nail on the head when he said, I understand if an adult fan kind of already knows I'm losing, if I'm going out there to fight AJ Styles, or I'm going out there to fight Nakamura, or I'm going out there to fight, you know, somebody with a big name. But when a 9-year-old kid does, there's almost no point in having the match, because it's not really accomplishing anything. It's not helping the guy who beats me, and it's not helping me. So it's just becoming filler. And he said, I don't want to be filler. I want to, if I'm going to build a guy up, I have to win once in a while. So when that guy does beat me, fans can say, wow, he beat somebody who wins once in a while. You know, if I never have any chance, and all the fans know I don't have any chance of winning, how does that help the guy that beats me? And I think he hit the nail on the head, Sabretooth.
Right. And what's crazy is he's not the blame, though. I mean, the blame goes to Creator. I mean, like, the people who were doing the writing. I mean, and they're so willing to let go of people, to save a book. I mean, but they still got this lousy creative team who was writing this stuff. He shouldn't even have to have done that. I mean, he had to. I mean, but like I said, it's all Kratos' fault, though. I mean, like, they write the stuff. I mean, so, I mean, and also, are they gonna like get rid of the U.S. belt? You feel like they're making, like, new belts? Are they going to, like, get rid of the U.S. belt? Or are they going to, like, give it to somebody else? Or?
No, I don't think they're going to get rid of it. I think they're just going to redesign it, and maybe Ziggler's going to come up with his own design for the belt and be or debut it or something and say he retired that belt but not the title. You know what I mean? That belt is no longer valid. I didn't retire the title. I retired the belt. That's where most people think this is going. But they are going to keep him off TV for a while, which is interesting because what's the 30-day clause, you know? Been within 30 days, you're stripped normally. So I don't know where that's going to go. It's kind of interesting. We then get to the main event. And with everything that had happened here, and with Daniel Bryan being warned by Shane McMahon, don't trust these guys. They'll turn their back on you. I thought something more was going to happen. I really did. I figured, well, we're going to get an ending that's going to be like, you know, super cliffhanger. Not really. Not really. What'd you think of the match overall, Mike?
Match, yeah. You know, good work, Ray, and I like the match, but yeah, it was missing something. It's almost as if they're running it not the way you're saying, or it's Daniel Bryan. The questions are about Daniel Bryan. It's almost as they're running it as, oh, the fans still have questions on whether or not Shane McMahon is going to do something, you know, do something underhanded or whatever, you know. That's how it seemed to me.
Yeah, it seemed that to me, too. I just think that, I know it's close to Christmas, and they figure, you know, they're not getting the ratings, and they might just keep on that treadmill and not do too much. But it would have been a really good cliffhanger if Daniel Bryan had to interject in some way, or Shane McMahon interjected in some way, or something more happened, Sabretooth. That's kind of what I was expecting.
Well, I wasn't. I mean, I knew it was a Christmas show, and usually, like you say, I mean, like on these like holiday shows or whatever, they usually, you know, that's not. I mean, like, they're in it on like a high note, but far like storyline goes, they don't really like getting into nothing serious. I mean, like, and next week at the Raw is Christmas show, so I won't expect nothing from them either. You know, so it won't be. You know, I don't expect nothing. Like I said, I don't expect much storyline wise from this holiday show. So I was. Yeah, I mean, so I was expecting it, you know, for nothing to really transpire.
You know, it's a great time, though. They think it isn't, but it's a great time to do it because it's not like Christmas was the next day. And there was probably a decent amount. In fact, the ratings went up. The ratings went up from last week. So they had more people watching this week than last week. So this would have been a really good time to throw that cliffhanger of, oh, man, I got to wait till after Christmas, you know, to find out what happens. And I just think it would have been a good idea. It didn't have to be anything major. It didn't have to be drop the total bomb. But it would have been nice to throw out something that you said, oh, I wonder how that's going to play next week. And instead, they just kind of sent the fans home happy, and it was what it was. And all I can tell you is I know that Randy Orton has said he's taken some serious time off in 2018, especially in the beginning of 2018. So I do not expect to see Randy Orton involved in too big of an angle, although some sources are saying he is taking time off from the road, but he will make the TV taping. So he's just going to be a TV taping type guy. He won't be doing any house shows, and maybe he'll do a pay-per-view, but he's not going to do, you know, the road. So I don't know. I mean, Randy Orton does this every once in a while to kind of reinvent himself, where you say, you know, this one trick pony thing he does is getting old. And then he goes away for a while, and you're like, okay, well, when it comes back, it's not old anymore. So maybe that's the case this time, Mike.
Maybe so, and maybe this is the first step, you know, in him, in his heel turn. You know, we know that he said that he wants to do the heel thing again. And he'd like to do it on Raw. Doesn't look like he's going to Raw anytime soon. So him being off of TV for a while, off of the road for a while, off of house shows, you know,
maybe this is them saying, okay, we're going to find a way to make you a heel.
I mean, maybe. I've always liked Randy Orton better as a heel, to be perfectly honest. I know it's going to be hard because fans are still going to, you know, cheer for that RKO and things, Sabretooth, but Randy Orton as a face never really comes across as a face anyway. I mean, what kind of face things has he done? He burnt Bray Wyatt's house down, and, you know, he doesn't come across as a face anyway.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's a much better heel because he's – I mean, and also he's a Viper. I mean, a Viper can't – you know, he's the Viper,
right.
Randy Orton. He's not the nice guy, Randy Orton. You know, and I mean, like, you expect a snake or a Viper to turn on you at some point. So, yeah, I'm like you. I mean, he was much better as a heel, as like a double-crossing, sneaky heel character who will turn on you at a moment's notice.
Yeah, I'd like that a lot better, too. As far as the Nakamura thing, I mean, they let Nakamura get the win. They're trying to rehab him a little bit. And you know what that means? That means my prediction that Nakamura will probably win this Royal Rumble is probably true. And they put him in the same ring with AJ. So, you know, every year the WWE has this problem. Every year the WWE has a Royal Rumble problem where it's very obvious who's going to win. Or damn close to obvious. Now, in years going by, it's been very, very obvious because it's been one brand. So, therefore, one title. So, you already knew that no tag team guy was going to win because they're not going to put him in the title hunt at WrestleMania. And you already knew no mid-carder was winning because they're not going to put them in the title match at WrestleMania. And you already knew that certain main eventers wouldn't win because they already are tied up in a feud that's going to last till WrestleMania. So, it was very, very obvious who was going to win. Now, with the brand split, they made it less obvious because whoever wins could go to the Raw title or the SmackDown title, which at least should give you double the amount of people, at least two guys, that you say, well, they could possibly win. Unfortunately, because the Roman Reigns thing has been leaked with Brock Lesnar, I assume that they wouldn't let Roman Reigns win. Because if they did, I think the fans would go right back to booing him again and say, oh, no, not another Roman Reigns Royal Rumble win. Like, we didn't know that was happening. And I think fans would get really upset. I just don't think that's a really good booking idea at all. So that led me to believe that a SmackDown guy would win. Well, who's the SmackDown guy that's going to win, provided AJ Styles stays champion, which it certainly looks like he's going to? Won't be Jinder Mahal. He's already had his chance and lost again. And by the way, Mahal has now admitted that he was working the last few months with a shoulder injury, as we reported here. And he denied. If you remember, folks, we reported Mahal's working hurt. He's denying it. It's not true. He's hurt. Well, we were right. Anyway, he's not winning it. So who do you have left on the SmackDown roster that's going to win it? Kevin Owens is not going to win it. Sami Zayn's not going to win it. It's very obvious they're a team. And it's very obvious they're going to go into it as a team. Now, Derek says John Cena could win. That is very true. That's the only other name. Roman Reigns is not winning this. They wouldn't take the chance that Roman would get a nasty reaction and all that work, positive work they've done to build him up would be for naught. So he's not winning. If he's even in it, he's not winning. So that leaves John Cena and Nakamura. Now, if John Cena wins, they could make that more interesting because they could say, well, who is it exactly that he's going to fight? Is he going to go to Raw? Remember, he's a free agent. He could pick Raw. He could pick SmackDown. And they could keep that going for a little while where he says, do I have to make a decision right this moment? You know, that could be interesting. But then what that would lead you to, if it's written in rock that it's Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, it would lead you to John Cena and AJ Styles. And I don't know. Does anybody want to see that? I'm not sure that's a WrestleMania match. Not like Nakamura and AJ Styles would be. But Derek is right about one thing. They want to put that belt back on John Cena right away because they know his career is fast coming to a very, very part-time place. And they want him to break that record. So that belt's going on him soon. I just don't know how soon. Could it be at WrestleMania? Yeah, of course it could be. That would be the perfect place to break the record. But against AJ Styles, he's going to get such a nasty reaction if he wins that I think that WrestleMania moment of saying, John Cena did it. He has won the title more times than anybody. And then there's a chorus of boos and people chanting AJ Styles. That's not going to work. The original plan was have him to do that with Jinder Mahal, where fans probably wouldn't have cheered Jinder Mahal. Well, he can't do it even if they somehow get that belt on Nakamura and then do it afterwards. They're still going to cheer Nakamura. So this is very difficult. A heel would have to get a hold of that belt, in my opinion. A heel would have to have that belt prior to WrestleMania if John Cena wins it, Mike. What do you think?
Right. And you're not going to drop – you're not going to have him drop the Jinder Mahal, either one of them, AJ or Nakamura, if it's either one of those two guys or even Cena. But, you know, and we don't know who else is in this match. I mean, some people we just haven't seen for the last month and a half or 2 months. Oh, let's say I don't know. One Bray Wyatt we haven't seen on TV. I mean, that could be a guy that could win this match as a single guy if they would do something with him. But again, we know what's happening. We know what's up with Cena, and we know what they want. And then we know what they want for WrestleMania with SmackDown with AJ and Nakamura. So.
Yeah, I mean, the WWE has an odd way of really telegraphing everything they do. And I know it's hard with the internet and all the dirt sheets and these type of shows that we're doing and everything else, but they certainly could throw you a curveball now and then if they really wanted to. And Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar has been rumored since just about last WrestleMania. And everything that they're doing seems to be building up for it, because certainly if Brock Lesnar is going to win this match at the Royal Rumble, you know that. So why would you have Braun Strowman win the Royal Rumble after that? To do what? Fight Brock Lesnar again? That's not going to happen. See, sometimes they paint themselves into a corner with these things, Sabretooth, where you say, based on the booking prior to this, you already know what's going to happen going forward.
Right, and also going back to what you said about John Cena, that's the way you said a heel is going to have to win that belt. But not just any heel, though. It has to be a heel that people want to see John Cena kick the shit out of. It has to be a heel that's so detestable and bad that they're going to blow the roof off when he wins that 17th title. You know what I'm saying? So it can't be just any heel. So it can't just be any heel when they do have John Cena, you know, when he gets that, when he breaks that record. It has to be one hell of a heel, like I said, who everybody wants to see get their ass beat. So, and that's a problem. As soon as they have a problem with heels, I don't see anyone like that at the moment, you know?
That's the problem. Name me a SmackDown heel that the fans cannot wait to see get massacred. I can't name one. Owens and Zayn are supposed to be two of the top heels in the Federation. They're getting cheered. Jinder Mahal doesn't really have any heat. He's coming off a lot of losing. He's losing to AJ Styles on house shows now, regular. He doesn't have a lot of heat. So it won't be Jinder. Who else you got? I mean, who else you got? Baron Corbin has no heat. And he's just coming off the U.S. loss. So that's not going to happen. None of these guys have any heat. SmackDown heels have no heat. No heat whatsoever. That's a shame. Really is. That's a shame. So that leads me to believe that they're going to have to take two guys like AJ Styles and Nakamura and put them in the ring together, which is fantastic. You're going to have a great match. Boils the Royal Rumble because you're pretty much sure who's going to win. If you break down everyone who's in the WWE, minus the champions who won't be in the Royal Rumble, obviously, and the people who are fighting another match. I presume Braun Strowman won't be in the Royal Rumble because he's in the title match, as is Kane. So if you take all of those people away, who can win the Royal Rumble? John Cena could, and Nakamura could, and that's it. That's it. Unless they pull the ultimate blunder and they have Roman Reigns win, which would be disastrous for his future as a face, in my opinion. So to be honest with you, Mike, it's not all that hard or all that exciting to watch the Royal Rumble at this point, because it boils down to just a couple of people.
Right. And look, I mean, they could have done something with this whole him putting Ziggler putting the belt down. I mean, they could have, if he puts the belt down and then he appears in the Royal Rumble, you know, you could say, okay, maybe Ziggler's going to do something, you know. You know, but him doing, I mean, we said that this, him doing what he did kind of raised questions, you know, with putting the belt down and basically almost abdicating that belt. But if the goal there is to have him abdicate that belt and then put him in the Royal Rumble, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Derek is saying, what about Randy Orton? Maybe he'd flip, win the Royal Rumble, and take on AJ Styles maybe as a heel. Maybe, but he doesn't want to be around that. I don't know. I mean, if so, then the WrestleMania match is ruined, because AJ's definitely winning, because Randy Orton's not going to be around much. So that would be very anticlimactic, too. The problem is they paint themselves into these corners, and here's why they paint themselves into these corners. Because the Royal Rumble, for some ungodly reason, means you get an automatic title shot. I do not know why. Mojo Rawley won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Does that mean he deserves a title shot? Why does a battle royal determine whether you're championship material or not? That's dumb. Luck of the draw, you would think anybody could win. Luck of the draw, you'd be like, well, what do you know? Aiden English won. You know, wouldn't it be a lot more of an event if you said there is no prize other than you're the Royal Rumble champion? You won this year. There's no prize. Just bragging rights, because then anybody could win. Then we'd be sitting here on Royal Rumble Sunday saying, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe they'll let Rusev win. He's popular enough. Maybe they'll let Nakamura win, but who knows? Maybe Dolph Ziggler will come back and win. Maybe some NXT guy will make his debut and win. We don't really know, because it isn't for anything. As soon as you add that stipulation that it's the main event at WrestleMania for the title, you can take 99% of that roster and eliminate them that moment. And that is the problem with the Royal Rumble as it is now. I have been advocating for a long time to take away that stipulation, to hell with the title match at WrestleMania. It's not the way WrestleMania match should be decided anyway. And I know a lot of people say, oh, but that's what everybody looks forward to, is who's going to be the guy. That's the road to WrestleMania. It shouldn't be. It should not be. Because it's illogical that all the top guys always draw like 26, 24, you know, and you're going to end up getting, you know, Mojo Rawley and Zack Ryder 2 and 3, so they can – it's just ridiculous. If you legitimately had a match where you said anybody could win, it would be much more exciting. And so what? Let's say Mojo Rawley wins. And you say, wow, they're really pushing Mojo. He's not getting a title shot or anything, but he won the Royal Rumble. That's pretty cool. Okay. Or, hey, what do you know? You know, somebody out of left field won. That's pretty cool. Or, hey, Rusev won. And the whole crowd's chanting Rusev Day. Any of those things would be better than knowing ahead of time there's only two people that can win it, Mike.
Right. And look, remember, what was it, 2 years ago, or last year or two years ago, when all of a sudden in the Royal Rumble, Bray Wyatt started to catch fire. And he went and he eliminated about 8 or 9 guys, you know, and everybody was started to get into it. But we knew he wasn't going to win, but everybody started to get into it. I mean, again, this is almost to the point of where the Money in the Bank is. The Money in the Bank doesn't mean anything, and the stipulation has made the thing
to where it doesn't mean anything. I'm almost ready to say it's time for us to go back to the old ways where the U.S. championship or the Intercontinental Championship is the number two title, and to be the number one contender, you have to hold that title.
Well, yeah, listen, at some stage of the game, I think they're going to have to change this because fans are getting bored with it. I've had a lot of fans write me about the Royal Rumble and saying, you know, only one or two guys can win. Why do we have to see Goldust in it? Why do we have to see R-Truth in it? Why do we have to see the Singh brothers in it? Why do we have to see Apollo Crews in it? We know they're not winning. So when they come down, we're just like, oh, whatever, killing time until whatever. And it shouldn't be that way. Could you imagine if you say to yourself, any of these guys really could win it? The WWE could kind of hand that out as a prize maybe once in a while to a guy who you say, you know what, you've worked really hard this year, and no, you're not a top guy, but we're going to let you win the Royal Rumble because you really worked hard. It could be a stepping stone where you say, you know what, you won the Royal Rumble, maybe we'll give him a little push instead of a prize to go on to WrestleMania Sabretooth, because then it eliminates 99% of the roster.
Yeah, I mean, I really like the old Royal Rumble when it was just about, you know, there wasn't no, you know, the winner got to go on to face the champion. That's BS, because to me, I hate the Royal Rumble now because, I mean, like, now it's a joke. I mean, like, you got guys in there like you got like guys like old school guys coming in. I mean, who you know aren't going to win, but they're for the laughs, and it shouldn't be like that. I mean, you got one year where the Godfather came out. You know, good damn well, he's not going to win.
Right.
Damn it. El Torito was in one year. I mean, I hate that joke aspect of it. It shouldn't be a damn joke. I mean, that's what it's become. And I hate it.
I agree. And you know what's going to happen this year, Sabretooth? This is going to be like, there's going to be that moment where, like, number three or four, and it's going to be, it's Mike Kanellis. And you're like, oh my God, he's alive. Yeah, he's going to win. You know? And you're just like, whatever. Those things are, that kind of makes it dull.
Right. And like a year ago, JBL got up from the announce table and jumped in. I mean, it's a big joke, and I hate it. It shouldn't be a damn joke. I mean, everything shouldn't be funny, you know?
No, I agree with you. It should be a damn serious thing, especially if it's going to be for a title match at WrestleMania. You know, if you want to work it the other way, Todd, and it's just for bragging rights, then I guess that's fine.
I used to like them with the bragging rights. I remember when Hacksaw Jim Duggan won the very first one.
Yeah,
it was a TV tape, and then the following year, Big John Studd won the following year, and after that, I was like, now they're gonna have like bigger guys, like bigger name guys, gonna win it.
I mean, wouldn't it be cool if once in a while you did have somebody return, and you're like, well, they drew number 29, the lucky bastard, and they won. You know, that would be funny if the Godfather came back, but he did draw number 29, mm-hmm. and he wins. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's give the ratings this week to SmackDown. Mike, I'm gonna start with you.
C.
Plain C?
C.
Alrighty. Todd, what do you think?
I'm going to give it a C.
There's two C's in a row. Sabretooth, what do you think?
I'm going to give it a B minus, a typical holiday show. I wasn't expecting much. B minus.
I'm going to give it a B plus, and I'll tell you why. Even though there was a lot of dumb stuff in it, and I hated what they did to the Riot Squad, and I thought the main event was boring and very predictable, I enjoyed the hell out of that stupid Christmas match. I normally do not like matches like that, but they picked the right guys, and that was a lot of fun. And for some reason, it just brought me back to, this is why I loved wrestling. Sometimes just crazy stuff like this would happen, and it seems to work. And for that reason, and the Ziggler thing kind of fooling me, which almost never happens, I give it a B+. Anyway, folks, we will be here for a very, very special Christmas afternoon Eve show on Sunday. We hope you all join us then, and we'll see you with more Wrestle Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestle Chat Radio. Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.